course. And some of you are dressed. This is Valentine's Day, right? Somewhat, I guess. But happy Valentine's Day to you. And I would like us to go to John's Gospel, John chapter 11. And I want to work through what I am calling love's delay. Love's delay. Okay? John chapter 11, a very famous scripture verse. And I would like to look at this story about Lazarus. But more than about Lazarus is going to be what we're going to be looking at is going to be more about Jesus and the way in which Jesus loves us. And so I want to look at this story here, John chapter 11. And most of us know this story, but to help refresh our memories, it says that there was a man named Lazarus, and he was sick. Now notice that, he's sick. And notice also, he's from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. And it says, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume upon our Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So that's another story, and you can find that in John chapter 12. And then in the Gospels, Mark, I think, has it, and Matthew, you can find it as well. And it says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now notice that. Lord, the one you want, you love, is sick. Okay, verse 4, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then notice this verse. It says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, that is, and Lazarus. Then notice verse 6. Yet. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this text of Scripture, and God, as we talk about it together, I pray that there'd be an anointing upon all of us as we engage in this story and how it is that we see some things about your love that maybe we haven't felt or seen before, that you'd speak to us, that we'd have an encouragement about us today as we draw closer to you in this word, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I just want you to feel this as I read a couple other scripture verses, that we're introduced to them, to these three, and we're introduced to them, some things are said to us about them, so that we're clear that Jesus and these three are friends. They're close. Some stuff has happened between them where it speaks about the way in which Mary worshiped Jesus by the vial of perfume and so on. It's just indicating to us who they were, but also how close of friends they were to Jesus. Very good friends. And so close of friends that when he's sick, when Lazarus is sick, they immediately send word to him, to Jesus, and they have faith that Jesus can do something about his sickness. And it says when Jesus heard, you know, when Jesus got word, it says that he waited a couple more days. And you would have thought just the opposite, wouldn't you have? No. He waited a couple more days. And so there's this little dialogue that goes on between him and disciples. And then after a couple of days, in verse 11, he says to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. So then Jesus says, hey, you know, okay, now's the time to go. Now's the time to go. And once again, notice he says, you know, our friend, Lazarus. And there's a little bit more dialogue between the disciples. They don't get what Jesus is getting at. And then in verse 17, Jesus gets there. And he finds out that Lazarus is dead. So now he's not just sick, but having waited too long to get there to do anything about Lazarus being sick, he dies. And he's 4 days dead, or at least 4 days in the tomb dead when he gets there. And immediately Jesus goes there and he meets one of the sisters, Martha. And look at verse 21 with me. When she meets Jesus, she says, "Lord, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died." And you catch something of the anguish, you know, in what she says. "Lord, if he's dead." You know, they're there. And it's like this hopeless hurt that she's feeling. And also, you almost catch something. "My brother wouldn't have died if you'd been here, Lord." It's like, "Where were you?" type of thing. And then Jesus has some words to bring her out of that kind of thinking. And I want to drop down to, let's see, verse 28. And I'm, you know, reading verses drawing our attention to something, of course, that's specific that's going on in this text that I want to draw your attention to. It's not the whole story that I'm drawing your attention to, but something from the story, okay, that I'm drawing your attention to. And in verse 28, it says that, you know, Mary wasn't there at the tomb when Jesus got there. She stayed home. And so you get the idea that, you know, she's really hurting, the other sister. Lost her brother, called for Jesus, he doesn't show up. She's, you almost get this idea that she's feeling a little disillusioned, baby. And it says, and you catch that from this, when Jesus gets there, you know, he Martha's there, of course, and he says, you know, where's Mary? And so they called for her. And Mary, you know, it's like, "Oh, he's here, finally." You know, but it's too late. Because look at what she says. She says to him in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And she's weeping. It says in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, says that he was deeply moved. And so, once again, you get this feeling like, boy, you know, Jesus, where were you in this? And then, going on, you know how the story progresses, right? Lazarus doesn't stay dead. And notice in the end of verse 33, it says, you know, Jesus is feeling Mary's pain. It says that he was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. And he says, "Where is he? Where's Lazarus?" And said, "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And when Jesus gets to the tomb, what does he do? Well, it says it. What's he do? It says he weeps. Jesus weeps. You see it there? In verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus is crying. And people standing around see Jesus weeping, and they say, "How he loved him. How he loved him. How Jesus must have loved him." And so it was a bitter wailing cry, of course, and then look what the verse 37 says. "But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" It's like feeling what the sisters were feeling, like, you know, where was he when we needed him, when he could have done something about it? So we don't know yet. See, we don't, you know, we know the end of the story. They didn't know the end of the story, what was coming next. So all of this stuff is being felt by them without really knowing that what's about to happen. And we know what's about to happen, right? Jesus says, Lazarus, come on out of there. And Lazarus rises from the dead. And you talk about resurrection life, Jesus proves it. And the glory of God is revealed in a powerful way, even as he says. It tells us earlier, and Lazarus rising from the dead becomes a witness to other people to believe in Jesus and to have faith in him. And so that's where we're at, and that's what I want you to feel as we talk about love's delay. Okay? And let me just introduce that by looking at something in particular about love, about God's love. And that is this. I like what Peterson says. He says, Jesus is the dictionary in which we look up the meaning of words. And so if we want to understand love, let's say, well, we look at Jesus, and he gives to us clearly the meaning of what love is. And we see it in the famous Bible verse, which we all know by heart, for God so loved the world. For God so loved that he did what? He gave his only son. And he gave him meaning to go to the cross, to sacrifice himself for us. And so we see the meaning of love and the demonstration of his love for us. And so we understand that. We want to see what love is? Take a look at Jesus. And this kind of thing, it incites us to love. In other words, when he says, you know, this being Valentine's Day, it's important for us to talk about these things, where he says in Ephesians chapter 5, when he's speaking to husbands, and we could say to spouses, he says, husbands, love your wives, and then he adds this. He says what? As Christ loved the church. And so if we're going to love, he says, do it like Christ loves. And he says in another place in John's gospel where he says, love one another. Love one another. And then he says what? Love each other. How? Like I loved you. And so there we see it again, that the meaning of love is found in Jesus, how it is that Jesus loves. And so, you know, I look at, well, you know, how do I love? Well, he wants me to love like he loves, to love my wife like he loves me, to love other people like he loves me. And on and on and on it could go as we talk about that kind of stuff. And so we see something here of Jesus' love in his love for his friends and his love for Lazarus that is also a part of his love that we may not be so quick to see, even though we feel it quite often. Okay? So we see something here in the love of Jesus for his friends. They were his friends. And this is something that's unique to John's gospel. If you've read through the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And if you've read through them, you know if you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and there's a lot of similarities there. But when you come to John, it's like he just takes a right turn, and he's off and going a whole different direction, right? But one of the things that you see in John is that John becomes very specific. He's talking specific people. He names them. And that's why we get the names of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, because it's not just that God loves, but he loves in particular. Right? It isn't just that, as we have said, it isn't just that God loves the world, but he loves me. He loves me. And so here we have this thing of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Jesus' friends, and how he loves them. How he loves them. And how he, and not only do we see something of the love of Jesus for his friends, these friends, but for us, for me, if in fact I am his friend, that we often experience. And when we do, we're conflicted about it. We're conflicted. Haven't you ever thought, boy, this is how God loves me? Can these kinds of things happen? And is this a part of a God who loves? A God who loves does this kind of stuff? No. And we're tempted to say that. If that's love, he has a funny way of showing it, right? The different things that happen to us or that we see happening to other people. And we question. And we question it here in this text, in John chapter 11, because here in this text in John chapter 11, it says Jesus got word, but at the end of verse 6, it says he stayed where he was. How many more days? 2 more days. And the whole thought was, if he would have got there, he could have done something about it. But he didn't go. Lord, if you had been here, Mary says, if you had been here, God, where were you, God? And there's this whole sense in this that there is, you know, an uncaring that's going on. There's an uncaring by Jesus. You know, if you had been here, you could have done something about it. That there is almost an indifference that, you know, he just, well. And it's like, boy, if they were that close of friends as you would have thought, that he wouldn't have been indifferent. He would have taken the time to have gotten there regardless. And of course, I think they felt a little bit of rejection. You know, you're friends with someone and they don't come through for you, you feel rejected by them. And I think all of that stuff is going on in there, and something is going on with that to say something to us about his love, about his love for us. And so we see that Jesus loves them, loves us. There's a lot going on here. And I want to just mention a couple of things that maybe you haven't looked at about his love, and hopefully to help you as it has often helped me. Okay? Love's delay. I think that as we look at this and knowing the end of the story, as we do, and remember now, it's a lot different having to live through it before you get to the end and when you get to the end, right? It's a lot different. But here's the deal, that when you're going through it, God delays because he has something bigger and better in mind than what we might be looking at our immediate request for his help. And he knows that in his love for us, that something needs to take place if something bigger and better is going to happen for us in our lives. And we could almost say, in drawing from this story, that maybe there's something that needs to die in me, so that more than just God bringing a healing touch in my life, I can know the power of his resurrection in my life. And you talk about transformation, that brings a transformation in our lives. And so he delays, and we pray, and there's nothing. And a month goes by, a year goes by, and it seems as though, God, where are you? And there's delay. And if we can get a hold of this, that he's delaying because, not because he is disinterested, indifferent, uncaring, rejecting us, not loving us, but quite the opposite. It's because he loves me so much that he is willing to risk himself and his reputation And would I just then think of him? Because he has something better in store for me at the end than what I'm just now experiencing. The deal is, you got to get to the end of what he has. See?
And so we have to see that. And we learn, and you know, Mel mentioned it in our worship time. We have to learn that when we feel this delay from God, that he's on a whole different, a whole other wavelength than what we're on. And he says that, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, my ways are not your ways. And he adds this picture, this you know, for us to fix in our imaginations. As far as the heavens are from the earth, that's what separates the way, you know, I'm working, what I'm doing, my ways from yours. And if I can just settle that, instead of bringing these charges against him, which we so often do when we're in a panic, when we're feeling that kind of distance, if we can just accept it about us that he's doing something that I just don't know about right now, but I'm going to trust that he's doing something. Wow. And to realize, as here with his friends, Jesus was waiting because something bigger was going to happen than just healing Lazarus of a sickness. He was going to raise him from the dead. You know? Wow. That's powerful. And then here's the next thing I think that we learn. And we have to learn this about his love, Jesus' love for us. And that is this. What's a delay to us is more often than not perfect timing to God. I like what Peterson says, and maybe this will help you again. It says, it is also God doing this in his own way and not to our dictates or our preferences. He does not consult us regarding matters of timing. Yeah. And so what seems like to us in this passage of Scripture, and they thought this, Lord, if you'd only been here, why did you delay? And we have to see that what looks like a delay to us, and now that we know that he raised Lazarus from the dead, was not a delay, but God's what? Perfect timing. And we have to settle that in ourselves, that God has a timing that is not my timing. This is the way, you know, if God would only listen to me once in a while, you know, it would go so much easier for me if he would. It's like, God, you know, a day after tomorrow would be not anything too soon for such and such to happen, right? Seriously. And we really do. And even if we don't mouth those thoughts out loud, they're there. We live that way. We really do. It's almost, you know, it's a subconscious thing about us in which, you know, we hold God hostage to our preferences. And when he doesn't come through to our preferences, then while we have this, you know, attitude towards God, and we become offended in him and his ways. When in fact, he's loving me in times like that because he's doing something for me that would otherwise never happen unless I was in that kind of circumstance. That's love. Wow. His timing. I like what Peterson says, you know. He doesn't consult us on regarding matters of timing. Well, I'd love to be on that committee of his. God, put me on your timing committee, please, you know. He says, we're set, Bob. We're set. And then here's another one, okay? This will be learned. You know, what are we talking about? Love's delay. This being Valentine's Day. Love's delay. The feeling of his absence, and this is what they felt, right? The feeling of his absence is no indication of how he really feels. Well, we have to get that one down. Because when I am aware of his absence, I become vulnerable to not trusting him. I become vulnerable to temptations to take matters into my own hands. And by taking matter into my own hands, I mean doing something to help me feel better. And that could range a whole lot of stuff in there. And we have to get down that because I feel his absence, he really does love me. Look at what it says here in this text over and over again. When he arrives on the scene, he's deeply moved. He was deeply moved before. And it says, Jesus wept. And, you know, we know this as the shortest verse in the Bible, right? But how powerful, how deep the magnitude of this verse is. And that he wept in such a way that onlookers were saying, how he loved Lazarus. As he's pouring out his heart in tears to God. Jesus wept. God wept here. How he feels about me. You know, this shows how he feels and his great love for you and for me. This shows that, you know, he's moved. And he's moved, as we say, what? To tears. And I like, again, what Peterson talks about when he talks about tears in our history. And he says, history is lubricated by tears. Think about your own history to this point and however many years you have in the history of your life. And how many times you have cried. Now, I have cried, I have laughed. I'd rather laugh, but boy, have I cried a lot. I don't think it's an unusual thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. When you look at the Psalms, 2/3 of the Psalms are Psalms of weeping. They're lament Psalms, we call them, of anguish, of the psalmist pouring out, 2/3 of the psalmist pouring out his heart to God. And my own history is lubricated by tears. And he goes on to say, I like this, he says, all these tears of the history of my life are absorbed in the tears of Jesus. And Jesus weeping here, he's weeping for more than the love that he felt for just Lazarus. Absorbed in him is all of this anguish. This feeling, these feelings of rejection, these feelings that he felt of offense that Mary and Martha was having and so on, and he absorbs them and he weeps. He's troubled. And I believe that he does the same for us in his great love for us. We feel that kind of way. And so when we're feeling his absence, it's not because he's rejecting us. It's not because he's rejecting me. It's because in his love for me, he's doing something in my life that otherwise could never have been accomplished without what he's just then doing. Just now doing, I should say. And then the last one is this. And this is a tough one, and this really speaks to how it is that we can love as Jesus loves. Okay? How it is that we can love as Jesus loves. Now, you know, so Jesus is, he gets word. And when he gets word, Lazarus is sick, and the message, you know, that it's quite serious, and it's quite demanding. You know, it's putting a demand upon him. And not, I'm not suggesting that it's putting an undue command upon him, demand upon his love for them. No, I think that it's putting it where it belongs. And you would think that because of the feelings of friendship that he had for them, with them, that, oh, gotta go. You know, let's tidy up everything here, put everything in order. rally the disciples together. Let's make our way to Bethany. And it was only a couple of miles away from where he was. And he was in Jerusalem. They're in Bethany, not very far away. Let's get there in a hurry. Let's take care of this. And being motivated now by the sentiments of friendship and going to have to make a quick response to get this taken care of. And he doesn't do that. Because Jesus was careful not to allow the sentiments of his friendship to replace his service to God. That's tough. Because Jesus had an obligation to his Father's glory more than he did to the welfare of his friends. And Jesus knew that if he took care of one, the other would be taken care of as well. But if he neglected the one, ooh, there goes the other, see? And so we have to be careful, and I have to say it like that. I have to say it like this, as I learned to love as Jesus loved, that in my relationship with my friends, whatever level of friendship and wherever however the friends are, this being Friends Day, right? Friends Day. This is Friends Day. Valentine's Day, Friends Day. That I'm going to be careful to be the kind of friend to my friends out of my relationship with Jesus. Because that matters most. So that more than my sentiments of friendship for you and how it is that, or anyone, or you generically speaking, that I'm going to be careful that my motivation and what moves me, because what can happen here is that I can miss, let's put it this way, if Jesus would have been motivated by his sentiment for his friends over his service to God, and he shows up and he heals Lazarus, he would have what? Detoured. He would have cut off something bigger that God was doing, that God wanted to do in Lazarus' life and Mary's life and Martha's life. It would have stopped all of that. And I say the same thing in our friendship with our relationship with our friends and how it is that we love one another, to love as Jesus loved. It may look sometimes in our friendships like rejection. It may look like in our friendships as uncaring. It may look like sometimes in our friendships that, we haven't come through to help like we should. But just maybe there's a response from us because we're being true to what God is saying to us and how it is that we have to help because God is wanting to do something. Have you ever spoken to someone, maybe one of your friends, and they were expecting you to come through for them and you just couldn't come through for one reason or another? And it's like they take offense at that, And maybe it was God's ordering that you weren't able to come through for them because God had something better for them. The way in which he was going to come through for them instead of you. I think that happens a lot. I think we interfere too much sometimes in the lives of other people. I really do. I think we interfere too much. It's well-intentioned. We want to help, right? I'm God's little helper. Just call me, I'll help you. Let me help. And we have to be careful with that sort of thing. And don't get me wrong. If I'm going to love as Jesus loved, Jesus came through for people. See? But yet we have this account here before us. That he loved Lazarus enough to let him die. To let him die. To let him die. He loved him enough to let him die. I think of Job's three friends.
What was their problem? Their problem was that they didn't let Job alone. They just let him die. Better to have done what? Shut up. Just be there with him. But no, they couldn't leave well enough alone. We're God's three little helpers. We're going to help you, Job. And so, love's delay, you know, love's delay. Let's pray. And so here we are, Father, on this day and talking about your love, how it is that you love us, immeasurable, unconditional. With feelings towards me that I cannot even begin to imagine. You love me deeply. And I'm grateful for that love. And I pray that we would feel it in dimensions that we haven't felt before, even in this kind of way, God, in the way in which there's a delay. How it is that you know, you don't come through like we think you should come through. God, in those times, to know of your love for us. And then, God, help us to be that kind of loving person to other people at times as well. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, happy Valentine's Day.